to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 101 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Episode 101. Last week, the big 100. That was so much fun. There's only 99 more shows to go until episode 200. The build starts now. I am just kidding. I would not do that to you guys at all. Anyways, hope y'all had a great weekend. How could you not? It was championship weekend. Lot to talk about. If you missed it on Twitter, Brad Yunker from Yunker Motorsports stopped by the house this weekend and sent out a few pictures from that. Love hanging out with him. Recorded a few minutes, which I'll drop in here later on. And man, I cannot believe it's Thanksgiving weekend already. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Like 2 days from now, it's Thanksgiving. Hope you all are enable. I hope you all are able to enjoy the holiday season. Lindsay and I have a tradition of going to the Lions game. I told her we're probably going to be leaving at halftime. And then Friday, we drive up to Frankenmuth and go to the world's largest Christmas store, which is absolutely incredible. Do a little shopping, hang out, and it's just nice to hang out with her. We're always very busy. So it's nice to just go hang out, the two of us, every once in a while. So looking forward to that. And man, like I said, what a weekend of racing. Three new champions crowned. And not only three new champions crowned for the 2018 season, but three first-time champions crowned, which is pretty cool. I will get into that here in a bit. First, some business to take care of. If you missed last week's big episode 100, that is definitely one worth going back and checking out. Great show with the PETM podcast, MIS track president Rick Brenner, the Orange Cone, Jeff Striegel, Mick Rose, Matt DiBenedetto. Well worth going and checking that out. Thank you to everyone that helped make episode 100 so special. Thank you to everyone that listened, interacted. Really appreciate that. It was a lot of fun to record that last week. Let's see. Listener show next Tuesday, week from today, November 27th. First one went really good. The show's booked already, which is awesome. I got six guys. I think six callers is a good number. You know, that'll be probably about an hour or so show. So that's awesome that you guys have reached out to be a part of that. We'll talk 2018. We'll wrap that up. We'll talk some silly season, talk next year. So I'm looking very forward to the listener call-in show. And then go vote. The listener awards on the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Driver of the year for the Cup, Xfinity Truck, Team of the Year, Race of the Year, Shock and Awe Moment of the Year, Parody Account of the Year, Interview of the Year. Go vote. It's going to be a lot of fun. That will be, I think that's December 3rd, which will officially be the last show of the year for me. Do some best ofs through December and into January and come back with the fantasy show, some silly season stuff, and all that good stuff come first of the year leading into Speed Weeks. Yes, talking Speed Weeks already. That said, man, it's going to be a more laid-back show tonight. Talk a little bit about this weekend. I think a lot of it speaks for itself, but hey, big news. Big news, which I'm really excited about. Not only is Brad Yunker going to be on the show here in a little bit. Aaron Studwell's calling in. There's no race weather to give, but as you guys well know, Aaron and I are big Michigan fans, and the longest rival in college football, Michigan, Ohio State, and this time it means something. So Aaron's calling in with a little weather for that. But most importantly, our new 2018 Xfinity champion Tyler Reddick is going to be on the show here in a little bit. So I'm pretty much going to have Tyler take care of the Xfinity race this weekend and all that good stuff. Got your silly season, lucky dogs, and we are crowning a Lapped Traffic Fantasy winner. I'm excited for this show. It's going to be fun. Kicking off episode 101. Man, let's get rolling. Let's talk some racing. Let's talk a little truck. Trucks kicked off championship weekend. Grant Enfinger picking up the stage win for stage one, and Brett Moffitt winning stage two and taking home the checkered flag. Get to him in a minute here. Tough day for Johnny Sauter, who struggled all race. Finished outside the top 10, stage one, finished 10th, stage two, and 12th in the race. Was not expecting that. Definitely anticipated him being up in the mix a little bit more. Our other playoff driver, Justin Haley, not bad. Pretty solid day, all things considered. Run top six or eighth all night long and finished eighth in the race. Again, not bad considering who was running against. You know, Brett Moffitt, Johnny Sauter, Noah Gregson. Nice job for his first appearance in the Final Four there. Speaking of Noah Gregson, looked like he might have had a shot at this thing. Probably needed another caution to get things lined back up. Finished second in both stages, brought it home third. And speaking of cautions, man, were people losing their mind over the fact the truck race, Xfinity race, went caution-free with the exception of the stage breaks. And then even when the Cup race started, had a long stretch there. I think they made it to stage three before the first on-track caution came up. You know, I mean, it's cool. It's a cool stat. It's something worth keeping an eye on. But, man, I could not figure out why that was getting so much attention. You know, all things considered, you weren't going to get a questionable debris caution this weekend. NASCAR, as they should, wanted this thing sorted out on the track. You know, they did not want to get involved. NASCAR's taken enough criticism over things. You know, they did not want to be the ones to, you know, take the blame or the finger for why someone won or didn't win. And I think that's awesome. I like that. You know, that said, you weren't going to get some random caution. And, you know, odd, yes, that we didn't have any in the truck or Xfinity. But like I said, I don't understand why it was such an attention seeker out there on social media. But anyways, Brett Moffitt picks up back-to-back wins on his way to his first championship. Obviously, I'm pretty stoked over Moffitt's win. He's been a big supporter of the podcast. It's been a lot of fun to watch this season. And hey, who knows? Maybe he'll be on at some point in time over the next 2 weeks. Who knows? Fingers crossed. Some cool stats on Moffitt. 2016, Moffitt's best year before this year. Six truck starts, one win, four top tens in just six starts. Moffitt has 36 truck starts, six wins. So average, every six races, this guy's getting a win. 17% of the time, that's pretty cool. This was his first full season in any of the three series. So his first full season wins a championship. That's pretty remarkable. That's all I've got to say. Moffitt, obviously our truck champion, followed by Noah Gregson, Justin Haley, and Johnny Sauter. So Moffitt, Sauter, both with six wins and both at the top and bottom of the standings there. Moffitt first and Sauter fourth. And that kind of played out throughout all three races this weekend, which was pretty interesting. The trucks, they got a couple off weeks. You know, February 15th, Under the Lights, Daytona, 87 days from today. Yep, I've got the countdown going on the website. But yeah, so couldn't be happier with the truck season this or truck races this season. Incredible, love the trucks. Man, I tell everybody, I've said it 100 times on the show. I love watching those guys, especially Friday night. Come home from work, pop a cold one. Watch some trucks, man. It's awesome. All right. What do you say we get over to the Xfinity Series? So Cole Custer looked like he was going to run away with this thing, dominating stage one and two, picking up the stage wins. But some interesting pit cycles there. Lack of cautions did not help the case. And Tyler Reddick picks up the race win and the championship win. Pretty strong showing for all four playoff contenders. Three of the four led during the race. All four finished inside the top 10 in both stages. But, hey, who better to talk about the race than our race winner and new Xfinity Series champion? Joining me on the line, he is the driver of the number 9 BurgerFi Chevrolet with Junior Motorsports. Picked up 20 top 10s, 7 top 5s, 2 wins, including Daytona, and most recently this past weekend at Homestead, making his 4th appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. Lap Traffic Nation, please welcome your 2018 NASCAR Xfinity Series champion, Tyler Reddick. Tyler, congratulations. Welcome back to the show, man.
Thank you very much for having me once again. It's been a pretty unreal.
Dude, I could only imagine.
To say the least.
So, what's the last couple days been like? I assume the phone is still blowing up.
The phone's calmed down pretty well by now.
Okay.
I'm getting messages from people that wanted to wait until my phone got blowing up to say congratulations now. So, it's kind of still going off, but not like it was right after the race, for sure.
Obviously family, friends, crew, all that. Anyone reached out that's like, you know, 7th grade crush, like some random one that's reached out to you that
Yeah, my girlfriend wasn't very thrilled that all my past flings and et cetera have been telling me congratulations and haven't talked to me in what seems like what's even as long as 10 years. So she's not too thrilled about it, but she's got nothing to worry about. Right.
That's funny, man. That's funny. Man, walk us through the race from your perspective, man, and especially those last closing laps.
Yeah, for us, it was kind of an up and down day, kind of like our whole year's kind of been. We attempted to make our car better in the second stage, and We just didn't seem to help any. My idea of what we needed to go faster was flawed. So we just kind of put it back for the final stage of the race. And after about 15 laps into that, the last green flag run we had there on our first stint on tires and fuel, it just came alive. We were able to run down your schedule. And then we put ourselves out in front of them and on older tires and pulled off the 00 and then eventually drive away. So
yeah,
had a perfect race, executed perfectly.
Talk about racing Custer out there. Obviously, you know, he coming in hot off of his win to get him into the round, winning Homestead last year. That had to be fun racing out there with him.
Yeah. You know, he was just so fast all weekend long that he was really hard to race with, if you know what I mean. So once we caught him in the 42, we just kind of used a code word, if you will, and it wasn't really a planned code word. Dave just said something that I knew that it meant it. So hit pit road, got ahead of them, and put them in a position where they had to pass us. And, you know, we were able to just find us and then eventually find some more speed and just dug down deep and was able to grab back.
You know, so it's funny you say that about code words with pitting. You know, part of the thing I noticed watching this weekend with the lack of cautions, obviously more green flag pit stops. And it almost seems like at a mile and a half track where that lead stretches out a little bit with the leader, you're almost in a lame duck spot if you are leading, knowing green flag stops are going to come up because you know the guys behind you are going to go try to pit and get position. Is that accurate?
Yeah, you know, the thing that confused me the most about that race is the 20 did it before even we did. So I was just absolutely blown away that the 42 and the 00 continued to pass pit road as many times as they did.
Right?
It didn't make any sense at all. It just blew my mind.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you there.
I was baffled. And even Cole Custer was baffled. Cole Custer couldn't believe it himself. After going back and watching, he even was just learned the edge of the situation. We got out in front of them and put them in the spot where they had to pass us. And, you know, ultimately, you know, Cole on fresher tires couldn't get it done.
Yeah.
The guy that had been so dominant there a year ago, won by so many seconds and was one of the cars all day, was really cool.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Kind of stacked against ourselves in that sense, being on older tires out in front of them. But we still prevail regardless.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So part of the talk this weekend, Friday, during the race on Saturday and even into Sunday, was the lack of cautions, with the exception of the stage breaks. You know, with 15, 20 to go, were you just waiting for your spotter to say yellow was out? I mean, I know I could only imagine the nerves. Like, you just got to expect that, but didn't come out able to sail away with it.
Yeah, you know, I think back to Kentucky the year before, very similar situation, just checked out, gone with the race. I'm just waiting for a caution to come out, but I never did. Then I think back to Daytona, to start off the year. I can't tell you how many times I almost got to start finish line in the lead on what was the sixth or seventh overtime, and then the caution would come back out. We'd have to re-rack and do it all over again.
Yep.
So I've seen both sides of it, where it's like, please, cautions, pretty much in both scenarios, where there's no cautions at all. And, you know, the cars just slow down so much, and it kind of just spreads out, essentially. I mean, I wouldn't say they spread out very far apart, because we still saw some really great races throughout all three races. But it's the way that the race goes sometimes. You know, I think people just are much more caught up in keeping going their way than they are in getting each other and, you know, causing wrecks. So,
sure.
But that's the thing. The track's so wide, you can move around so much. I have no reason to run in the back of somebody or get down on their door to really pass. So I think that's why we don't see the accidents we see at some of these other racetracks, where the field just stays kind of stacked up but can't really pass.
Sure, sure. You mentioned the win at Daytona. How cool was that to win the opener and the closer this season? That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it was just an odd set of circumstances. You know, no one's done that before, which was the knowledge of that was passed along to me, which is cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you're gonna have a not so great regular season and you're just gonna win the opener and the finale, then I mean, I guess you still had an all right go of it. But right away on a high note, and we got ourselves locked in the playoffs, and I think we just kind of, well, I wouldn't say we got lost, but we just learned a lot about ourselves and just what we needed to do before the playoffs came around. We did about everything wrong in every way possible, and most of the time it was my fault for that, for it even happening. But those hardships made us really, really, really brought us into where we needed to be for the entire playoffs, and we just survived, if you will, each single round and got to the next and kept plugging away with each race we went on.
It's the name of the game with this new format, you know, not that it's bad, but that's, you know, it's survival of the fittest. You know, it may not be the prettiest way to get to each round, but, you know, as long as you get to the next round, that's all that matters.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right. How in the world did that flag get stuck during your burnout, man?
One of the guys placed it in our door there, and it just kind of laid over. And I don't think anyone thought it was going to get caught by the valve core and just get ripped off completely and thrown. But it was kind of funny, kind of wild. But fortunately, it's going to make a really cool flag to hang up in a picture frame one day and have it hang on the wall.
Absolutely.
It's back at the shop right now. I just looked at it the other day, took a couple pictures of it today. And it looks really cool, distressed with burnt rubber and holes in it from getting caught on stuff. Actually looks really cool. It's got a nice distressed look to it. That's, it has a good story for sure.
Absolutely. Well, if they come out with a diecast replica after the burnout, that's going to be a sweet looking diecast too.
Absolutely. Those guys make those diecast. Aren't going to be a big fan of mine when they have to cut a quarter panel of those crazy stuff.
Absolutely. All right, Tyler, before you head out, any plans for the holidays?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure yet. Obviously going to go home for Thanksgiving. But I really haven't thought past Thanksgiving yet. We got the banquet coming up September 8th, and a lot of other banquets we'll be attending through that week. It's like banquet week. So just don't really look that much further ahead than December 8th, I guess, for us.
Cool.
We got a lot of things going on in between. Just part of, you know, the small, you know, part of the winning the championship. I don't want to get into this and that. I mean, I'm not complaining by any means, but it makes it hard to plan anything for the off season until that's all out of the way. So
sure.
I'm glad I'm having my time taken up to do this other stuff. It'll be a lot of fun going to Universal. It'll be a lot of fun doing these other things we'll have going on for the next couple of weeks. I'll make sure to enjoy it and soak it in, because there's 39 other drivers out there that are dying to be in this exact spot that we put ourselves in last
Absolutely. That's good. I like that perspective there, sir. Tyler, tell everyone where they can follow you at on social media.
Well, you can follow me at my name on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, pretty much all media platforms for the most part that are still out and used today. I know I had a Vine, a MySpace page, by any means, a little bit before my time. But yeah, you can follow me on all those platforms, just really by my name. You should be able to find me. I'm the one with the blue check mark, if anyone's curious. Fortunately, these days, with the help of NASCAR and some other people, we've been able to get verified on pretty much all accounts. So you know which one it is me, it'll be the one with the check. So
awesome.
That's where you can find me.
Excellent. All right. Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to driver the number 9 BurgerFi Chevrolet with Junior Motorsports. Tyler, just want to congratulate you again. Thank you for taking some time to come on the show to celebrate. Thanks for the support of the podcast. Look forward to talking with you next season, man.
Sounds great, Evan. For sure, enjoy your off season. Spend some time with family.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Well, Lap Traffic Nation, first off, again, congratulations to Tyler Reddick. And can I just say how humbling it is that Tyler Reddick took time out of celebrating. And I can only imagine how busy he is and to come on the show. That was just so awesome. So cool to talk to him. So glad he's been on the show a few times and a supporter of the show. Just awesome. And I was so excited. I did that interview yesterday with him, dropped that in here. But man, that was so much fun. All right. Xfinity standings. Tyler Reddick, our champion. Elliott Sadler finishing second. Man, just the bridesmaid this season, right? You know, finished second at Daytona by closest finish in Xfinity history to our Xfinity champion, Tyler Reddick. Daniel Hemric, strong showing, finished third. Definitely had some momentum coming into the race. And then Justin Allgaier finishing fourth. You know, you had interesting end to the season with the Xfinity series in terms of who dominated and who ended up taking home the championship there. So, but again, awesome Xfinity series. I look forward to the Xfinity series next year. I wonder if they're going to make, I don't believe they're making any changes in terms of the number of cup guys that can run their races and all that kind of stuff. But man, the Xfinity playoffs were definitely a lot of fun to watch. Over to the Cup Series, Kevin Harvick wins stage one. Kyle Larson picks up the win for stage two. And Joey Logano, our race winner and Cup Series champion. Joey Logano picks up his 21st win of his career, third win on the season, which gets him his first Cup championship. You know, I saw someone post on Twitter that the boos turned into cheers. Makes that move at Martinsville mean a whole lot more than just a guy moving someone. He doesn't make that move, he doesn't win the championship. You know, so it'll be interesting to see just how much more that Martinsville race is. You know, it's the last short track race of the season. It can make or break your way getting a Homestead. I think Martinsville just upped its importance level with Joey Logano picking up the win. Logano's grown on me over the years. I have to say, I think he's got one of the coolest foundations out there, bringing these kids to the track to give them an experience of a lifetime. Gets them their own fire suit, which I think is cool. Just really special. You know, so, and that helps, you know, the fact that, you know, he goes out and does such awesome things with kids. But yeah, he's definitely grown on me over the years. Or in words of Chloe Yunker, it's pretty lit. His foundation, I would say. All four guys, man, ran a clean race with each other. And everyone else on the track, for the most part, stayed out of the way, which for me, that was expected. I really did not think that Truex and Logano were going to get into it at all. You know, had Truex not made it, well, then maybe it's a different story. But the mere fact that they were all four there, the mere fact points didn't matter. It was just finishing spot. Truex had no reason to do anything on the track. You know, it's not like he cost him points. They were all four there on equal playing field. So from that regard, not surprised at all Truex didn't do anything. If Truex did something, all that it was going to do was maybe hurt his shot. So now, not to say maybe somewhere 2019, you know, there might be a little love tap somewhere on a track if, you know, the cards position themselves correctly. But I personally think that because they both made it, that is all under the bridge at this point in time moving forward. Let's see here. You know, another thing that I think is really cool, 5 years of this new format, and while we've had quite a few guys racing consistently in the Final Four at Homestead, we have yet to get a repeat champion under this new format, which started in 2014. 5 years with this format, five different champions. Now, yes, Jimmy Johnson, obviously a repeat champion, but not under this format. So I think that's really, really cool. I also think it's pretty special that since this new format, all five different winners have also won the race. You know, before this, it was pretty common to have two celebrations, your race winner, your championship winner. Now, I suspect at some point someone's going to play spoiler and win the race that is not in the Final Four. But I think because of how this format is, not everyone's just going to go give up spots. But obviously, you don't want to be that lapped car, no pun intended, that doesn't let one of the four contenders go by, blow a tire, take someone out. So I think the format plays a role a little bit in the result. Hence, all four finished 1 through 4. All four ran up top. You know, I think that's a result of the format here in terms of what the Final Four get to go and do at Homestead. So I think at every race, unless something drastic happens where someone's out there and has an issue on pit road like Logano had back in 2014, which took him out of contention there. If all four guys don't have pit road issues and don't have a tire go down on the track, I expect them to be top 5, top 10 all race long at Homestead. Just because of the way the format is. But I digress. With the win, Logano moves up to 29th on the all-time win list. Congrats to him, all the Logano fans out there. I think it's pretty interesting that, you know, they talk the big three. I'm not talking the big three anymore. You know why? Because it's the big two. At this point, looking at things, you got Harvick, Kyle Busch, both with 8 wins. Truex 4. Yeah, and that's great. That's an awesome season. I'm, you know, if your driver gets 4 wins, that's an awesome season. But, you know, Logano got 3. Kozlowski got 3. You know, Truex only has 1 more than those guys. So as far as I'm concerned, at this point now, it was the big two of 2018. That said, though, the big three, if we will, accounted for 23 wins, 65% of the races. And if we throw Brad's 3 wins in there, those five accounted for 73%. So pretty strong season by the Fords and Kyle Busch and Martin Truex. That said, Larson, Hamlin, Johnson, winless 2018. And I say that's special, especially with Hamlin and Johnson, just because, you know, it's not special, not that it's a vendetta that I didn't want them to win. But, you know, Hamlin, 12 years in a row with a win. Johnson, 16 years in a row with a win. I mean, that's remarkable. And, you know, all good things must come to an end. So, you know, when you look at what we got this season in terms of, you know, two guys having career wins, guys that have had career years in Hamlin, Johnson, weren't able to get it done this year. Part of that from speed, other competition on the track, maybe some other mitigating factors out there as well. But there were a lot of cool things that when you all put it together, 2018 really wasn't that bad, in my opinion. That's my opinion. Might be, I think it's an unpopular opinion. But when I look back, 2018 didn't suck. You know, we witnessed a pretty cool season as far as I'm concerned. You know, we got some decent races at tracks we didn't expect, a la Chicago. The Roval ended up being a very cool race. Our road courses were great. Playoffs were filled with drama, excitement. We got to see two guys have career years, crowned a first-time champion. You know, I know next year there's some uncertainty in terms of, you know, the bleep show everyone's expecting with this new package. And, hey, that might be what we get. But you know what? We're all going to tune in. We'll all watch. And we can all either suffer together or who knows. Maybe there's a slight chance we can all be surprised together. That said, the countdown is on to the Daytona 500, Sunday, February 17th, just 89 days away. Hey, it's less than 3 months, everyone. We can get through it. All right. That's the final race recap of the season. What do you say we get over to some social media? Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes, Podbean, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, all of the podcasting sites you should be able to find the show. And obviously you have if you're listening to it. Make sure you subscribe, download, tell your friends. Don't forget about the giveaway. 3,500 followers. Just clipped 3,200 followers, which is awesome. So just 300 followers away from giving away the 124 diecast signed by Richard Childress and giving away a T-shirt and all that good stuff. Speaking of followers, some new followers over on Twitter. Gary at Gary M. Bretz, a junior sprint driver from Ohio. Creed at Creed Daniel 7 from Illinois, who is a Larson and McMurray fan. Mike at Mike Channel 129, who is a motorsports and pizza enthusiast. Love the pizza enthusiasts in there, sir. Corey at CPOFFFF, a Harvick fan from Virginia. And Todd at T_Denger, a NASCAR fan and a Buckeye fan from Ohio. Well, hey, can't all be perfect. Just kidding. Everyone, make sure you go to the website and vote for the Listener Awards. That is going to close this Saturday. Make sure you go and vote for your favorites on the website there. And if you want some stickers and koozies, I send them out weekly, which is awesome. So those are still there if you want. And let's see. I am going to skip the silly season, so no clown music today. I'm going to wait until some more news comes out and do a whole show during the off season on the silly season. Who knows? Maybe I can get some people to call in for that as well. That said, I mentioned at the top of the show, Mr. Brad Yunker stopped by the house on Saturday, and he wanted to talk a little OSU football and place a bet with me. You know, of course, you know they're doing all right, so you know he wanted to place a little wager. So let's see what that entails. Lap Traffic Nation, it is a very, very special occasion because joined for about the second or third time, I think, in the Lap Traffic Studios here in the basement is the wonderful, talented Mr. Brad Yunker. Brad,
that's right.
Welcome back, man. What's up?
Bad penny keeps showing up.
So what brings you in town, sir?
Oh, a little bit of wedding stuff and just visiting with people. Figured we'd stop by and hang out for a while.
So you decided to come to that state up north leading into rivalry week.
That's right. That's
excellent.
Right.
Excellent. Brad is sitting here in a OSU jacket, which I almost kicked him out of the house for that. But so
this is the only thing I wore Ohio State.
So Brad and I are sitting down here hanging out, and it was some tough games for both our schools today. You guys need to send Maryland a thank you card or something.
I don't know if that was just ugly or thank God or what you call that, but that was pretty nasty.
Well, you know, to be fair, you know, to get to the second overtime, I wasn't surprised by Maryland to go for the win. Like, they had nothing to lose
other than to
hurt your season.
Right, exactly.
So screw going into third, fourth, fifth overtime. Let's just go for the win here. Go for the 2 point. And the guy was open.
He was. Yep. Yep.
To be fair, like, part of me was like, all right, I want Maryland to win so that we're clinched for the Big Ten championship game. But on the second part, no, screw that. I want to go out there, and I want to beat the shit out of Ohio State, earn my way to Big Ten.
Oh, man. See, there's the one thing, though. You guys been talking so tough, and I've noticed it coming out a whole lot more lately. But, I mean, is it just because you've had so many years of it banked for, you know, just this opportunity?
Well, so I'm going to tell you what it is for me. So when the season came out, and the schedule. I'm looking at Harbaugh, struggled the first 3 years, can't beat any of the rivalries. And then the way things lined up with Notre Dame coming back on our schedule this year, and we're playing Notre Dame on the road, mm-hmm. MSU on the road. We got Wisconsin at home, and we got OSU on the road, plus Penn State. I'm like, I literally, when I first looked at the schedule, I'm like, not knowing what Shea Patterson was going to be like, I would not have been surprised if we went 6-6. So the mere fact, like, all right, the Notre Dame game, you know, I wish we could get that one back, or at least the first half back on that one. You know, and as we kept going and going, and once we got through Michigan State, I'm like, ooh, all right, it's getting real now, you know. Uh-huh. So it feels like the old school days of me growing up as a kid with Lloyd Carr. Like, it just feels good. You know, we may still very well go out and lose, but I don't think we're going to get pounded by you guys. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, like you said before we started, you know, Brad said, he goes, I think Michigan's going to be favored, which if Michigan gets favored going into the shoe, I mean, that would be big. Yeah. Not that means anything, but that would be big.
Right. Right. Well, and our guys at this point, I think, need something to play for. They're just not.
Well, that's what I think is awesome is even though Ohio State does have the one loss, you know, this game is for the Big Ten going to play for the Big Ten champ, which the last time this game's meant anything for both schools, it's going to be fun. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You're looking forward from your guys' aspect. You're looking forward to it because, you know, well, you've taken ass beatings for so many years.
We have. But. I mean, we are still. I would just like to point out, Michigan does still lead 58-49-6 in the series.
Overall,
so I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Now, but you have won 6 in a row. So, all right. Let's set aside before we get to a potential bet that I think's looming in the air.
Oh boy.
Let's talk a little bit about Yunker Motorsports. You guys bought a new ride. I saw.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's
I say bought a ride?
You bought a vehicle.
I owned the thing.
Yes.
If I bought a ride, that'd be great because somebody else still owns it. But being that, I just bought another late model, so we can run.
So Chloe's getting in there, right?
I just bought another late model, so I was gonna run some CRA races and see if we can get back to having a little bit of fun.
Are you still going to ride the modified?
I don't know what. We're going to have to figure out something to do with modified because, well, Brad just doesn't fit.
Fair enough.
Brad's head is sticking out the top of the roll cage, and nobody's comfortable with it. Right,
so, like, you know, when I went and saw Brad up at Birch Run this summer, run up there, man, I saw the car, and I'm like, something, one of these things doesn't seem like it's like putting a circle hole in a square peg. Like, it just doesn't look just like it was meant fit. To be.
No, so. No. Nobody likes, you know, me getting in and out the way I have to. And there's just some safety aspects that don't. Now,
fair enough.
Once I get out on the track, I don't care. You know, I don't think about it. But, you know, I always told everybody as I'm pulling out on the track, make sure they got fire extinguishers close by because I'm not getting out of the car real quick.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So. All right. So we're going to run some late model. You going to run full time or what?
Most likely.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if things are rolling good, if we get some other opportunities.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting to hear some things on. So if we get.
We're going to have little, to check on some of that. Yeah, see what goes on there.
You got to do a little digging.
Yes. But, yeah. We'll have a little chat off air here on that.
But yeah, definitely.
Well, that's very cool. So you'll be up here running Birch Run again and with that. And where else you guys hit the track
Birch
at?
Birch Run, Winchester, I think Salem, probably Toledo, bunch of tracks over in Indiana, stuff like that. Just, you know, we can always set off to the side and do some other races, you know, some weekly stuff if we want to with the car. So just wherever we can run and have some fun.
Now, is the engine better with this one than the modified?
Yeah, we have. We actually never had a problem. I mean, we never had a problem with the engine. We had a problem figuring out how to get the air to the engine with the modified.
Fair enough.
Once we figured that out, we were in pretty good shape, but... yeah, we've got two good ones that'll That'll work out pretty good with this deal.
Excellent, excellent. All right. So, as everyone knows, last week was episode 100, and Brad and I had talked about whether or not Brad was going to call in, but Brad mentioned he was going to be here over the weekend. I'm like, you know what? I think it would be much better if we did it live in person, and the show is going to be on for the lead-in to Michigan-Ohio State. So, Brad, since Michigan's doing so well, I'm a little bit more confident this year, at least making some type of a wager.
Only want to bet when you only bet on the sure thing, right? I see.
So Brad, we were talking. I'm willing to make some type of a bet on the game. What you got anything in mind or anything?
What did we talk about?
So,
before,
all right, so this is what my suggestion was, is if Ohio State wins, I have to show up and be in an OSU shirt during a race weekend and be the little grunt worker for the pit crew for the weekend.
With a lot of pictures.
Right, with a lot of pictures, you know, wiping down the car, you know, getting it all ready for you.
Can we make the other half like a maid outfit?
Sure, whatever you want, whatever you want. And if Michigan wins during the June race weekend, you're walking around in a Michigan maize and blue. God. Maize and blue. So, are you in?
Yeah, I think. But do I have to wear that the entire weekend?
I tell you what, just Friday during the show day.
Okay.
Just during show day.
I don't think my skin can take that for that long.
Now, so I've got two bets with OSU guys. So I got you now, and I've got. A bet with Matt Tiff. So, man, I hope I don't have to do a lot of paying up at the end of this weekend.
I swear, if we both have to show up at MIS with Michigan shirts on.
Oh, the grin on my face, man.
I'm not going to.
All right, so that's a bet. That's fantastic. Brad, tell everyone where they can follow you guys at on social media.
You do this to me every time.
I'm sorry. At Yunker Motorsports. Yes.
You can probably list it better than I can.
Right. And make sure you're following Chloe. Chloe
just
will be on here.
Follow us everywhere.
Follow.
Get on Twitter.
Yes.
You know, hit us up on Twitter. Just we like to talk to people and have fun. So
absolutely.
You know.
All right. Well, I'm sure this isn't going to be the last time you're on the show before the start of next season. So, Laugh Traffic Nation, huge thanks, Brad Yunker, for making a stop in the man cave tonight on a Saturday leading into Michigan OSU weekend.
Game.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll see what happens. All right. Thanks, Brad. Oh, that was so much fun. Love talking to Brad. Love hanging out with him. Cool guy. Chloe, unfortunately, didn't make it. Apparently, she was at some hockey game or something. Too important to come say hi, but whatever. It's all good. Looking for more interesting and fun stuff with Yunker Motorsports in 2019. Can't wait for that. All right. Not to completely take over the show with Michigan football. But Mr. Aaron Studwell decided it'd be pretty cool to call in and let us know what kind of weather we can expect for the big game on Saturday. Lap Traffic Nation. So I said last week was the last race weather segment, but that doesn't mean Mr. Aaron Studwell can't come back and do a little Michigan weather segment. You know who he is. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather. Check out the website, raceweather.net. Back for a Michigan football only weather segment, Mr. Aaron Studwell. Sir, good evening.
Good evening, sir. Hail to the victors valiant.
Yes.
Again.
Oh, man. All right. So, what, first off, what'd you think of the championship race? Let's get racing out of the way so we can talk some big game football coming up here. What'd you think of the race?
I'll go all three races. I didn't pick any of the winners.
Okay.
So we'll put that aside.
All right.
We'll put that aside there. My lap down pick would have been Johnny Sauter up until Sunday. Then it became Kyle Busch.
Right.
I'm not disappointed in any of the three winners. I think all three of them have definitely earned it. It shows a little bit of the quirkiness of the system. As for the racing on Sunday, which I believe was the original question,
yes,
I was okay with it. If I could vote meh,
Meh.
Yeah, usually was it a good race? Yes, no.
Meh. Fair enough.
Meh.
I'm with you.
Yeah. It was good racing towards the end. Definitely a lot of strategy plays in it.
Yes.
But there is some side by side back mid pack. But it's a lot more strategy, and it's almost like a fuel mileage race, but not quite. It was just pit strategy, which, you know, that's part of racing, and yep. I'm fine with that.
Well, you know, everyone behaves themselves, knowing what's on the line for everybody else,
yes.
You know. And from that regard, I think that's where it's become more of a mental game than a on-track race game, if you will, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
At times. Yeah. At times, yeah. But, you know, and then sometimes they get physical, and that's track-dependent or aero-dependent. You talk about a Talladega or Daytona.
Sure.
But or Martinsville, where people aren't going to behave.
Yeah.
The strategy's out the window.
Yeah.
I want you to explain something to me, please.
Oh, wow.
Why all the hate for Joey Logano? Other than him turning Truex at Martinsville.
All right, so I'm the only thing and explanation I can have for this is I've got to go back to and switch out of NASCAR mode and go to wrestling mode. I think fans love having the heel and the baby face. I really do. And anytime that NASCAR creates that for the fans, they want to get behind that. I think the fans want to create their own excitement. And I think you feel that at the track, like during driver intros, which, you know, I know they broadcast that for Daytona and Homestead and all that. But when you're at the track during driver intros, you really feel passion from the fans when they announce the name. And it's sometimes, you know, crickets chirping, and sometimes it's loud boos and it's loud cheers. And I think that creates that dynamic, a good guy, bad guy. And I think that, you know, the Logano wrecking Truex to get in there, I think that created that. But then at the end, you know, they were cheering for him. So I think it's just that good guy, bad guy kind of thing that fans want to get behind. It gives them, you know, maybe a little bit more excitement if someone they booed is next to someone, you know, someone cheered them in the stands. I think that's what it kind of creates. And then social media, everybody just gets butt hurt. So, you know, you got to take that with a grain of salt. So,
right. And that's kind of where I was going with it, because I think I saw the not my champion meme.
Oh, wow.
About the same time I saw about the championship memes running through. I'm like, somebody was just sitting on that one. Somebody did that with like 10 to go. And he's either going to get deleted or put out as soon as that race was over.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised either if whoever it was had it ready to go for all four. You know, just good. But that's really good. I like that. Well, sir, that is another season of NASCAR racing in the books. But you and I have another season and passion that is still going. We've got some Michigan football. And it's funny because I just put in and dropped into the show an interview. A good friend of mine, Brad Yunker, actually came up, was up here in Michigan this past weekend and stopped by the house. And we all hung out for a little bit and we recorded a little bit. And he is a big Buckeye fan. So you will definitely enjoy that banter that we had going back and forth. But now someone from the correct school, the right colors, the maize and blue on. And we get to talk some Michigan football. Sir, I will be honest. I'm a little nervous. Michigan opening up as a 4-point favorite going into the horseshoe.
Again, and we've talked about this several times this season,
yes.
It's a money thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's, where's the money going to come in? It's cash. It's, you know, it's honestly, it's the top four team in the nation against a team that a very troubled Maryland program. And we kind of made a joke about it during the preseason show. And it really turned out to not be a joke how bad and how troubled that program was. And my response about the Maryland game for Michigan was DJ Durkin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now he's gone. And you're looking at an Ohio State team that was taken to overtime. And really, I mean, I don't know how the game would have progressed.
They'd still be playing,
I'm convinced.
If that was
a better pass, if that was a better pass in the overtime,
yeah,
that should have gone to another overtime.
Right. Yep. Yeah, no, they could still be going.
Yeah, and It's just, and I look at the Michigan team, and it's what I was afraid of. And what always, and we, I think we've mentioned this too in the preseason show, Indiana is a team that give, they may not win a lot. They may not have a great record, but they always seem to give the big teams fits.
Yes.
And whether that's benefit of the schedule, whether they're looking ahead to, okay, Michigan's going to play Ohio State next week. Are they kind of peeking ahead, and all of a sudden they're losing at the half?
Right. Yeah, well, you know, and I think what happens for a lot of these, you know, the Rutgers, the Marylands, the Indianas, at least over the last decade with these teams, is you know, they get off to a rough start. They realize they're either not going to make a bowl or they're going to be playing in the, you know, Bob's Burger Bowl. And so they just want to go out there and play spoiler to some of these big guys just to give themselves something to rally behind. And I think that's what we saw with Indiana and Michigan and Maryland and Ohio State. Like, these guys were just going out there playing for heart just to see if they can, you know, rally behind putting an end to someone else's season.
Yeah, and I'll put it this way. Are we almost lucky Nordine was sick?
Right. Hey, something tells
he's
me.
He's not had a great season, and then Moody goes in and sets the school record.
I think we know who our kicker is for Saturday, that's for sure.
Oh, I'm thinking, yeah. I'm thinking, yeah, and it's not the guy who Harbaugh had a sleepover with several years ago.
No. Oh, don't get me started on that. Oh, man. Oh, it's local sports talk radio here, man. Oh, they go to town when that happened.
Don't worry, national sports talk radio went to town on that. It's like, what in the world? And he's... It's Jim.
It's Jim.
It's quirky.
Yes.
He's quirky. He's eccentric. And he draws attention to the program in any number of ways.
Yeah.
Good or bad. Does.
Good or bad. Yes.
Press is press.
Yes. All right, sir. What kind of weather are we looking at this weekend for Michigan, Ohio State?
It is a Saturday noon Eastern kickoff on Fox at the Horseshoe. We have rain forecast to move in after midnight. Southerly wind, 6 to 12 miles an hour. The heaviest rain looks like it'll be before kickoff, but it's going to leave a wet track.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. There will be some lingering showers. Do not see much of a chance of convection, so I don't think we're going to have any kind of lightning delays or convective delays.
Okay.
So that'll be kind of out of the picture, but it's going to be wet tracks, and especially with that rain continuing in the afternoon. High for the day is 49, morning low 36. Temperature kickoff mid 40s.
That's warmer than usual for this game.
Yeah, normal highs 49, normal lows 31. A touch, especially on the morning low. You're going to go out in the morning, and it's going to be nice. It's not going to be freezing. I mean, the rain's going to be rain. You're going to have a cold rain early, but if that moves through as forecast, it's going to be a wet track, and I think that favors the offensive team, especially with the rushing attack of Caron Higdon.
Absolutely.
Patterson in the short passing routes.
And Higdon put on the spot. Didn't come out voluntarily to declare a guaranteed victory, but was asked by a reporter if he'd guarantee a victory. And, you know, what's he going to say? No. So, yes, you know. But I look forward to this game. I'm excited about this game because for the first time in a long time, it means something for both schools to continue on with the season. And, man, it's going to be a fun game to watch with hopefully Maize and Blue coming out on top there.
Yes, Maize and Blue, we talked earlier, it's 3.5. I think they'll cover. I think they'll win. And I think they'll be heading to Indianapolis this year?
Indiana.
Championship game.
I had mulled around the idea of maybe going to that game, and who knows. If they went on Saturday, you know, couple drinks in, who knows? I might go on StubHub and see what happens.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea because I'm looking at the conference standings now. coming out of the west, and there's no – I don't think there's a way this – anyways, this will change. It looks like it'll be Northwestern.
Yes.
With a two-game lead on Wisconsin.
Yes, they are locked, I believe. And, yeah, the winner of Michigan-Ohio State goes. So, looking forward to it.
Wow.
Yep. It's going to be fun. Sir, any Thanksgiving traditions this week you and the family do?
We usually rotate or alternate Thanksgiving, so I am flying out tomorrow morning to Cincinnati, driving. Actually, going to drive by Kentucky Speedway.
Cool.
And then driving from Sparta to Frankfort is actually a very pretty drive, so we'll be doing that. Go see my mom. Go see family. So family Thanksgiving traditions, family.
Awesome. Very cool.
I'll be cooking the bird and basting the bird and carving the bird and flipping the bird. I'm Excellent. Not a big turkey fan. So
Love it. Love it. All right, everyone.
It was great talking to you.
Right back at you, brother. Everyone, make sure you go check out Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather. Check out the website, raceweather.net. Sir, have a very happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and go blue.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, and definitely go blue.
Talk to you soon, man.
You will.
See
okay,
ya.
Take care.
Well, love talking with Aaron, getting excited about the big game on Saturday. All right, let's get back to some NASCAR talk. It is time for the Lucky Dogs and Lap Down picks. All right, this is the last Lucky Dogs of the week for the season. We'll pick this back up for sure next season. So without further ado, the last Lucky Dog Lap Downs for the year. My Lucky Dog of the race is definitely Joey Logano and Brett Moffitt. Those guys, and Tyler Reddick. I love the fact that we've got three first-time champs ever across all three series. I think that is awesome. And my lucky dog for the year is the 2018 season. I thought it was pretty special. I'm not going to lie. Lap down. The season's over. That's my lap down for the week. And my lap down for the season, the inspection process. NASCAR's got to figure out a way to get that a little bit more streamlined at the tracks. You know, these cars failing and all that, even at the RD center. And I'm not just talking about because of Kevin Harvick, but across the board, the inspection process, they've got to reel it in a little bit and figure out a way. More rules doesn't make it better. You know, so I think something's got to be done with that. All right, let's get to your tweeted responses. And then we got a couple waiver on hotline calls. Brandon at Brandon K. Carl's Lucky Dog goes to NASCAR. All three races, they let the drivers race, let the finish happen naturally. Lap down goes to Truex. You said you'd wreck the 22. Well, that final restart was a prime opportunity to make his life hell, and you watched him drive around you. Scott at 1985 Wagner's Lucky Dog Logano, of course. A lap down, Kyle Busch, teammate, gives him the premier pit stall, and the crew choked. You know what? I meant to comment on that earlier in terms of the pit stall thing there. And I could tell you, you know what? That's great coaching by the coach himself. I think that's an awesome move. I think that's a move any team would have done had given that opportunity, and I applaud that move. I think that was a great move. You know, obviously, Denny Hamlin wants to go out there and win, wants that prime pit stall, but this is one of those rare opportunities where team comes into play. You know, we talk about teammates in NASCAR and working together at the restrictor plates and all that kind of stuff, but that this was a prime opportunity of how the team came into play. Any other team, even another Toyota team outside of Truex wins the pole, they're not giving that spot up. And the fact that Kyle Busch was second, it just played perfectly. And, you know, like Scott said, it didn't use it to his advantage. Some rare mistakes by the 18 crew there. But I think that was a brilliant move, and I applaud that move by Joe Gibbs Racing in terms of giving Kyle Busch that first pit stall. Got it. If you got someone in the hunt, you go and get it, and you do everything possible for that. ND Designs at ND underscore Designs. Lucky Dog Moffitt with his well-deserved championship. Lap down, 2018 season in general wasn't one of the most exciting seasons. April at SWT Harvick Fan Ford Lucky Dog, all four championship contenders. A lap down, last caution flag. I believe it would have been a different outcome. Linda at RacingGal_FL's Lucky Dog Championship 4, putting on a fantastic race. Congrats, Team JL, on the championship. Lap down, it's the end of the season. Jesse at Iowa NASCAR Fans Lucky Dog for the race is Logano. Great race, but the last restart saved his ass to set up for that short run. That's right, they talked about that. He was good for the short run, and he proved it. Lap down for the race, Larson. All this talk about him being the king at Homestead, and he fails to win again. He's got to learn to keep that car clean up there. Let's see, Jesse's Lucky Dog of the season, the fans. We got a great season with memorable finishes, even with 2 8-time winners. The intensity was great. Lap down for the season as NASCAR ratings attendance continues to drop. Looks like they were going to chuck a Hail Mary up to save ship next year. I believe talking about the restrictor plate or the tapered spacer. And Eddie at EG3_FastEddie's Lucky Dog Riddick. Dude was flying the high line all his way to his first championship. Lap down, 18 pit crew, one of the top pit crews in the business, did not show up to the race when it mattered. Rough day, absolutely. All right, thank you to everyone all year for your tweeted responses, and let's get to the Wave Around hotline calls.
Hey, Brandon, it's Kathleen. I was at Homestead this weekend. I had a great time, saw three really good races. I thought the races were pretty cool. Friday, I was hoping for Johnny Sauter to get his second title, but if he couldn't get it, I was pretty happy that Brett got it. It's sad, though, that there's a big question mark now as to his future and the team's future. That kind of stinks that it has to be that way. I didn't really have a dog in the fight for the Xfinity race. And, you know, obviously, of course, I wanted Kevin to win on Sunday, but it just wasn't our year. It was pretty remarkable that there were, you know, all four cars at any point in that race really could have won. Nobody was really out of it until the end. So that was pretty cool to see. My lucky dog has to go to Joey Logano. You know, maybe he did benefit for getting his win early, knowing that he was going to transfer to, you know, the final race. And maybe that did give them some time to really make sure they had the car for it. The other three, you know, they had their difficulties at different points. So it is what it is. And, you know, the 22 team won, and I'm okay with that if Kevin couldn't get it. As far as my lap down, Miami Homestead is a beautiful facility. It's a first-class track with a great, you know, experience for the fans. But I got to give them my lap down for the women's bathrooms not having flushing toilets. They were all out of order, not only after the race on Saturday night, but again before the race on Sunday, and then again after the race on Sunday, which was really, I can't imagine that. It was really awful. But anyways, they really need to do a better job with that. The poor attendant in the washroom kept apologizing and saying, oh, it's because it's so busy. Well, what are they thinking? I don't know. I've never been there before, so I don't know if this is a problem every race, but it was a big problem on Sunday, so they get my lap down. Anyways, I'm sad that it's the end of the season, and we'll do it all again next year. Take care. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, thanks for calling in to wrap up the season. Glad you had a fun time at Homestead. Man, that really stinks, though, about the bathroom facility situation there. You know, they had some issues there this weekend. You saw with Elliott Sadler had a hard time getting into the track. Guys racing for a championship can't get in. Yeah, so that's, it's a bummer there. But, you know, I've heard great things about Homestead. So hopefully just some snafus this past weekend there. All right, we got one more call on the Wave Around Hotline.
What up, Brandon? You know who it is. First off, I'd like to say thanks on an awesome year. What a fun year it was interacting with you and Rusty and Sherwin all year. It definitely made the year a lot more fun. But, man, what a year we saw. I'm really sad it's over. Seeing Logano win his first championship was pretty cool. He's only 28, which is kind of scary. There's no really no saying what this guy could do moving forward. It wouldn't shock me if he goes out and wins the title next year. So he's the obvious lucky dog, the kind of guy who was, you know, fast all year. Maybe didn't have race winning or lap leading speed all the time, but the dude had like 25 top tens. I think it was a crazy number like that. So it's not like it was a real shock to anyone that he won. So obvious lucky dog. Lap down is the guy who chased me, 15 exits, who claims that I flipped him off when I did, and I just gave him a, kind of a what the f***, dude, what are you doing, why are you driving 50 in the left lane? He then followed me and cursed me off and then said he was going to call the cops on me because I quote-unquote flipped him off. I didn't know that flipping someone off was a crime. And then I'm at the bar on Saturday, and this girl looks at me and goes, oh, my God, it's you. I'm like, oh, hey, recognized her from back home. And she's like, oh, my God, look who it is, turns around, and there is little sister Cancian right there. And I'm like, why are you here? First off, how'd you even get in? You look like you're 12, and you're not even 21, but whatever. That was pretty funny. Yeah, Brandon, you're also the lucky dog because I didn't leave anything ridiculous bombed the one night because I'm like, what if I called the hotline drunk again? That would have been kind of funny. Anyway, man, the off season sucks, and we'll see you in February in Daytona, man.
Oh, Andrew. God, I love when you call. It's awesome. Thank you so much for being a part of the Wave Around Hotline on a weekly basis. It definitely adds to the show, and I greatly appreciate that. And thank you for the lucky dog there as well. Much appreciated. Can't wait to interact with you in the off season next season. And I believe you're calling in for the listener call-in show next week. So can't wait to talk to you. A lot of fun. All right. That is going to do it for the Lucky Dog and Lap Downs for 2018. It was a blast. Can't wait to do this next year. This segment on the show, guaranteed, no questions asked. All right. It is time now for the final fantasy updates for 2018. Oh, what a year. It's been so much fun doing this fantasy league this year. Had great turnout, great interaction with everybody. So much fun. All right, let's recap it. No one picked the winners for all three races. We did have 8 players pick Moffitt. No one took Reddick, and only Chad Robb had Joey Logano. And don't forget, we added what would have been stage points to the final four for each series to make it fair. That said, week high, which might be a season week high, I'm not sure, but 166 points by 4 players. Rob, Matt Fossum, JT, and myself. I decided to come alive the last week of the year with picks of Harvick, Custer, and Moffitt. Second week high was 150 from John Warrington, John Elliott, Paul Hollenbeck, and Ryan Kiefer, who had Harvick, Bell, and Moffitt. Over to the top 10 in standings and the final standings for Segment 3. Winner of Segment 3 with 1,004 is Mr. Paul Hollenbeck. Nice job there. In second place with 939, Matt Fossum. In third with 936, David James. In fourth with 917, Kayla Jordan. In fifth with 915, John Elliott. In sixth with 902, Jeff Lake. In seventh with 887, Kathleen McDonald, beating by 1 point the MOATF podcast with 886. And in ninth with 883, Ryan Kiefer. And wrapping out the top 10 in segment 3, John Entwistle with 871. Over to the final cumulative standings, winner of the year-long total. She was up, she was down, she dominated segment 1, she fell off the board for a while, but made her way back. Chloe Yunker, with 3,604 points, wins the cumulative lap traffic fantasy. In second with 3,596 is John Entwistle. In third with 3,591 is David James. In fourth with 3,559, Tommy Witt. And wrapping out the top 5 cumulative with 3,538 is Matt Fossum. That said, David James and Tommy Witt picking up 3 prizes. Chloe, John Entwistle, Matt Fossum picking up 2 prizes. Chad Robb, Paul Hallenbeck each picking up a prize. Recap here. Segment 1, first place, Chloe Yunker. Second place, John Entwistle. In third, Tommy Witt. Segment 2, Chad Robb. Second place, Tommy Witt. Third place, David James. segment three, as I just mentioned, Paul Hallenbeck, Matt Fossum, and David James. So congrats to everybody. I've already reached out to the fantasy winners to get sizes, colors, and such. Hope to mail those out by the first week of December, as long as I get everyone's stuff in and I'm able to get it ordered and all that good stuff. Now, over to the little bet with the MOATF podcast. Well, Kevin Harvick didn't win the championship, but he did finish ahead in the race ahead of Kyle Busch. That said, I win. And no greater satisfaction have I had than designing the shirt that the MOATF podcast, most notably David, is going to have to wear. Now, he said on his show today that I need to bring it. I need to make it big. Or why even bother? Don't you worry. This shirt is going to be an embarrassment for you to wear. That's all I'm going to say. Nothing tasteless on there, but you are going to be embarrassed to wear the shirt. That I can promise you. It's done. It's designed. And the nice thing is having my the t-shirt store and all that kind of stuff, this thing's going to be legit. It's not going to be, taped on, pinned on, markered. No, this is going to be a legit shirt that you, sir, are going to have to wear publicly and on Periscope. I want to see a picture of this tweeted out front and back. Yes, that's right, front and back. And if you don't, I'll have pictures of it. So, I'm very excited. Unfortunately, you're probably not going to get it until, mid-December. Who knows how long it's going to take to reach and go across the pond. But I am very, very much looking forward to that. So, anyways, congrats to all of our fantasy winners. It was a lot of fun. Don't forget, the poll is on the website, thelaughtrafficpodcast.com. I'd love your feedback to make it better for next year. And that said, all right, that's going to do it. Episode 101 of the Lap Traffic Podcast is in the books. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download on iTunes, Podbean, all that good stuff. I'm going to go give away a couple shirts right now. Big thanks to Brad Yunker, Aaron Studwell, Tyler Riddick for coming on the show today. Next Tuesday, episode 102, the Listener Call-In Show. Don't forget to vote for the Listener Awards on the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!